deaths of David Palmer, Tony Almeida, and Michelle Desler. They were friends of mine.
That's the way it works.
Jack, Logan doesn't confess. How far are you actually willing to go?
As far as I have to.
Welcome to 24 Under Review, your one-stop shop for all things 24.
Now, let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
Previously on 24.
Paed calls Gradenko and is told that it will take 2 hours for the delivery systems to arrive and another 1 hour to install the bombs. Paed complains, but Gradenko snaps back, telling him that if it weren't for the Russians, they would be delivering the payload in weeks, not hours. Jack has found a new lead, and it's going to have to use President Logan. And Logan tells Jack that the Russian consulate has been in contact with Dmitry, and that they will have to go and talk to him if they want to get the location. Jack doesn't necessarily like the plan, but it's their only lead, so he has to go along with it. Wayne asks for the ambassador of an unknown country to give a statement of support to Assad from that country's prime minister right after Assad's speech. He also raises a few objections, but Wayne tells him to do it. Carson, one of Reed's associates, assembles a bomb that is going to take out Wayne, so the vice president, who is in support of enacting extreme policies against the Middle Eastern people, will take office. The bomb does go off, and the president is seriously injured, and Assad is killed.
The following takes place between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Well, the president is alive, but he's not looking too well. He is being carted to what looks to be a surgery room. And I guess he'll get surgery to remove some shrapnel or wounds that he got from the bomb blast. And that only lasts for a few seconds until we get to Jack and Logan, who are hopping into the limo to go to the consulate. Bill then calls Jack and informs him that there was an attempt on Wayne's life, and the Secret Service suspects that Assad was responsible. We also learn that Assad is dead. Jack tells Logan that there was an attempt on Wayne's life. Back to the bunker, Reed looks into the surgery room where Wayne is, and for a few seconds he looks at him trying to figure out if he's alive, which I'm sure he already knows he is. He then turns around to make a call. The Secret Service agent catches Reed when he turns around and tells him that Tom is needed in a telebriefing conference with the Vice President, and Reed says he's occupied and he will cover, and the Secret Service agent is satisfied. During the briefing, the Vice President is told that Wayne has been injured by shrapnel that entered his neck and chest, and if he survives, it'll be a miracle. And the Secretary of Defense also tells him that he will now be the President because they will assume that Wayne cannot serve. And the Vice President actually looks quite a bit shocked. And he ends by telling the cabinet when he gets to the bunker in a few minutes, he wants a briefing from Tom. One of the people in the cabinet asks where Tom is because the vice president wants a briefing from Tom right when he gets back, which will only be in a few minutes. Tom tells him he has no idea, so that's the first little marker that he has no idea and something's going down. So the guy from the cabinet just calls over Secret Service agent, tells him to do a sweep, and that's when Tom gets a little scared. He walks right back into the room where Carson is holding Reed hostage, and he gives Carson the bad news.
Is he dead?
No, but he's injured badly enough that he won't be able to serve. The Secret Service is looking for Lennox. They're sweeping the bunker.
Let me handle him while there's still time.
No.
Look, I told you before, I can make it look like a suicide. The situation will support it. He was depressed after the president rejected his plan.
No, we cannot kill Tom Lennox.
Why not?
Because we're not murderers. What we did was necessary for the sake of national security. Killing Lennox is just about us trying to cover our involvement.
Getting caught? Never part of the plan.
Don't touch him.
Or what?
Or you'll have to kill me, too. Listen, I know Tom Lennox. He can be reasoned with.
So you really did it.
Only because it had to be done. You were the one who warned us all that the logic of this current engagement would demand extreme action. You said that for the greater good, individuals would need to be sacrificed.
I wasn't referring to the President of the United States.
Sir, the President's policies would have aided the enemy. They may have been well-intentioned, but they were naive and they were dangerous, and you know that. Vice President Daniels is running this country now. He will implement your security plan. But if you implicate us, it will only drag you into this, and it will make your security plan that much harder to push through.
I'm the one who tried to stop you, Reed.
They'll never believe you. Sir, the only way to stop these nuclear weapons from being detonated on U.S. soil is through the proposals in your security plan.
And all I have to do is do nothing.
Yes. Carson has matched the bomb signature to a design used by Assad's organization. The FBI will put this all on Assad. No one needs to know the truth.
I don't know.
Sir, a guilty conscience is a fair price to pay for the survival of this country.
They're coming.
Do you understand the situation, sir?
I do understand, Reed.
I know that you will do the right thing. Good.
As they walk outside, a Secret Service agent spots Tom and tells him that the Vice President wanted him. He notices that Tom doesn't look too good and asks if he's okay. Tom says yeah and then tightens his tie and then rats them out, telling them to arrest the two men and he'll turn himself in until he can speak to the Attorney General. Carson and Reed look a little bit shocked, but I saw this coming from the start. Once they took him hostage, he's not going to just let him do that, especially when they just tried to assassinate the President. Noah then calls Bill, asking him about the release of Logan, and he's not too amazed.
This is Bill Buchanan.
Sir, one moment for the Vice President.
Bill, I see from the White House flashes that President Palmer granted Charles Logan some kind of furlough. I'm curious as to what circumstances could possibly have led to that.
Logan claims he can help us find Dmitry Gordenko, the man who supplied the terrorists with the suitcase nukes.
How?
Through the Russian consul in Los Angeles.
Logan believes this man will know how to find Gordenko.
He insisted on approaching the consul in person.
I'm frankly surprised President Palmer trusted Charles Logan to conduct any business on the government's behalf.
I believe the president's decision was informed by the fact that we have no other active leads on Gordenko.
Is Logan being supervised?
Yes, by one of our agents, Jack Bauer.
Bauer's been instructed to keep Logan on a short leash.
You keep me posted to any progress. And as soon as this plays out, I want him back under house arrest.
Yes, sir.
Right at that time, Jack and Logan arrive at the consulate, and they have a little argument, but it ends with Logan winning, and he's going to go to Markov alone. Jack also tells Logan that if he is more than 20 feet away from Jack, he will know, and he will have to come and get him. With that, they walk inside. Logan goes into Markov's office, and Jack sits out in the lobby.
Sir.
How have you been?
Very well. Still trying to do my best for my country. As much as circumstances will allow, of course.
Of course. My sincere sympathies to your people for the tragedy this morning. You have condolences and support of my country.
Thank you.
So, how can I help you?
The bomb that exploded this morning was a Russian suitcase nuclear device supplied to the terrorists by Dmitry Gradenko. No, thank you. I don't smoke anymore.
Mr. President, those weapons were destroyed as part of our treaty.
We're certain of our facts, Anatoly. But I didn't come here to make accusations. I came here because we need to know where Gradenko is.
I will ask Moscow to try to locate him immediately.
I'm not asking Moscow. I'm asking you. I know that you two are close, and you have been ever since you fought together in Afghanistan. So, I ask again. Where is he?
I don't know. Give it to me. Dmitry and I were close for many years, but not now.
Forgive my lack of diplomacy, but I don't believe you. And I'm willing to force the issue. Moscow has always suspected that someone inside the Russian government helped supply the Centaux nerve gas to the separatists 2 years ago. I have the tapes, Anatoly, of every phone call you made to my people. I will send them to President Suvorov.
You gave me your word that my role would remain secret.
My promise was rendered null and void by the fact that the terrorists that Gradenko was helping have three more bombs.
I haven't spoken to Gradenko for more than 1 year.
I will send the tapes. You'll be recalled to Moscow, and you will never be heard of again.
You can send all the tapes you like. Destroy me many times over. I do not know where Gradenko is.
All right, Anatoly, I believe you. Please forgive my tactics. I'm trying to save people's lives. So, if you know anyone else who might still be in contact with Gradenko.
I will make calls. But, as far as I know, everyone else has cut off contact with Dmitry as well.
Any support will be greatly appreciated.
Of course.
Anatoly?
Mr. President.
Logan and Jack leave, and they go right back out to the car. And right as they get to the car, Logan tells Jack he knows that Markov is lying. And then inside, the console confirms that by calling Gradenko and telling him that they know that he is connected. Gradenko seems surprised that the Americans know he is involved because they thought the Arabs would take all the blame. And then Jack tells the limo driver to stop after he gets out of sight of the guards, and he then calls Chloe and tells her to get ready to shut down the power grid or the power for the console. Chloe tells him that it will take a little time and she'll call when it's ready. Logan notices what's happening, and then he tells Jack this.
Jack, you just spent nearly 2 years in a Chinese prison because you violated the sovereignty of their consulate. Now you plan to go back into the Russian consulate and take a chance on that happening again?
Karen is finally back. She's over at Andrews Air Force Base, watching the news on her amazing Sprint phone, waiting for her flight back to L.A. Bill calls her and tells her that there was an attempt on Wayne's life, and he also tells her that the vice president is already in acting as the president. Karen is a little surprised and makes the decision to go back. All this is happening right as the president arrives at the bunker, and then he's informed about Tom's status and how long it will take Wayne to recover, which as of now is unknown. At that time, Tom is being interrogated by a Secret Service agent. Nothing really important is mentioned, it's all just stuff we've already known. But then Noah arrives and the mood changes. He tries to interrogate Tom to the best of his ability.
to stop this, Noah.
I'd like to believe you, Tom. But I'll leave it to the Justice Department to determine your role in this as well as Assad.
Assad? They were setting him up. He had nothing to do with this.
You don't know that. It's my understanding you suggested that others besides Reed and this man, Carson, may have been involved.
Only because Reed implied as much. I was just trying to ferret out who else might be involved.
Did you? Then it is conceivable that Assad may have been at the very least a willing participant in this attack.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Assad was a terrorist who hated this country and everything it stands for. What better way for him to rally his people than to martyr himself by murdering the President of the United States?
Don't you understand that is exactly what Reed and Carson wanted this to look like? And now you're playing right into it.
I am going to address the nation shortly to inform the public about what's happened. Until I have all the facts, I am not about to tell them that Hamri al-Assad is innocent in this.
I see what you're doing here, Noah. By scapegoating Assad, you'll be able to reverse the president's agenda, get even more aggressive with the Islamic community. You think I don't see what you're doing here?
It's your plan, Tom. You outlined those measures yourself. I was your staunchest advocate. What has happened to the president is horrific. But if there is any good to come from this, is that we now have the opportunity to do what we both know is in the best interest of protecting this country.
You're asking a whole heck of a lot more than for me just to maintain silence on Assad.
The cabinet knows that you are the architect of the plan. If you're not on the face of it now, it may raise questions. Or have you come to believe the president was correct in rejecting your proposals?
No, I know. It's the only way to stop these attacks.
Then you can stick to your assertion of Assad's complete innocence. Or I can clear you of these charges and you can help me to initiate your plan, which we both know is in the best interest of the country.
When Noah walks out, he tells Secret Service Agent Lowry that he wants Tom's statement forwarded to him before it goes out to the Attorney General. Jack now is back at the consulate. He hops over a large concrete wall and is going to a side door when a security guard up there spots him and he asks Jack what he is doing in Russian. Jack tells him he was told to guard the back. All of that was in Russian. It didn't really make sense to me why the guard there wouldn't know his whole team. I mean, you just see a random guy and you believe he's on your team. That didn't make sense. But I guess they're not the smartest people. And then he makes his way up to that door where he calls Chloe, tells her to shut off the power. And then he makes his way into the consulate's office, or the consul's office. And once he's in there, the consul trips the alarm. The security guards go right outside the consul's door, and they ask if he's okay. And Jack yells that if they try to make a move, Jack will kill the consulate. Jack then calls Bill and tells him of the situation, and Bill isn't too happy. He then tells Jack because it's Russian territory, they can't make any moves. One of Noah's aides comes in and tells him that there's going to be a televised speech in 10 minutes. She also tells Noah that Karen has resigned or taken back her resignation. And they talk a little bit about why. She says all of the official reason is because she wanted to go to LA to be with her husband. They suspect that the real reason is because she had the opposition of Tom. Then Noah's not really too happy about that, but he can't do much about it. As all of this is happening, Bill calls the vice president, or I guess now the president, and tells him of the situation at the consulate. And then Sukharov, the Russian president this year and I guess last season, calls and they have a little conversation.
This is Vice President Daniels.
I was expecting to speak to President Palmer.
My apologies. I'm afraid he's unavailable.
unavailable.
Sir, I'm speaking on his authority. I assume that you're calling about the incident at your consulate. But let me assure you, this man is acting on his own and not under the orders or authority of the United States government.
Nevertheless, this is a gross violation of our sovereignty.
If your agent does not stand down immediately, my country will have no choice but to retaliate with the most forceful diplomatic measures at our disposal.
I understand your position, Mr. President, but before you escalate this, you should understand mine. We've learned that Consul Markov is most likely in contact with Dmitry Gradenko, who we've linked to the nuclear attack that took place on U.S. soil this morning. If that's true, we will look upon him as a co-conspirator in the attack.
Mr. Vice President, I deeply regret the tragedy that your country has experienced today, but you must make these charges through proper diplomatic channels after your agent has surrendered.
Right about then, Jack punches the consul in the face, and the consul then tells him that he hasn't talked to Gradenko since he came to the U.S. Jack notes he never told Markov that Gradenko was in the U.S., and then when Jack makes that known, it looks like Markov gets a little bit scared. And then he goes on to tell Markov about what CTU knows about Gradenko. And then Jack gives him the bone-chilling request to give him the information or he will cut off his fingers. He wastes no time and cuts one of his fingers off. Outside of the room, agents just get a video feed on their little Dell PDA, and then Markov breaks after a little bit of torture, and he tells Jack that Gradenko is in the Shadow Valley launching drones for Fayed to deliver the payload, and all the bombs will be in the air within 2 hours. Jack has a lapse in consciousness when he walks away after knocking out the consulate, and when he's about 15 feet away from the consulate, they blow the doors open, knocking Jack off his feet, and then they hastily arrest him. Noah Daniels is in the middle of his televised speech, and he mentions that Assad is dead, and he will be pushing out a few very aggressive policies, and at CTU, Nadia doesn't look very happy. Nadia asks Chloe if she's heard from Jack, and she says no, and Morris is at a different station monitoring all traffic in and out of the consulate. But the traffic is encrypted using a technology that has never been cracked. But there is a little lead. One of the computers is open, and it's the computer that evidently is doing the encrypting, so Morris can see the information before it gets encrypted. And he picks up some that uses the phrase, "An American agent is in custody," very many times. He tells Nadia, who turns around and calls Bill.
Apparently they got to Jack.
What do you mean, got to him?
They moved in on his position and recovered Markov. Yes, sir, they're holding Jack prisoner. So we probably should inform the Vice President?
No, not yet. He's in a diplomatic standoff with Suvorov. He won't get anywhere with a direct appeal.
So what's our next move?
Have Special Ops draw up a plan to get into the consulate. I want to give the Vice President the option to take the consul by force. And hopefully rescue Jack.
Back at the consul, Jack is in a room tied up with two guards right there talking, and then one of them comes in after Jack starts coughing, and he pleads with the guard right there, explaining to him that Markov was working with Gradenko, and Gradenko supplied the nuclear weapons that have one of which has already gone off. The guard doesn't want to believe it, but he evidently knows that Markov is connected to Gradenko. Jack begs the man to call Buchanan at CTU and tell him what he knows. The guard leaves the room with his Bluetooth headset on. He goes to open a door with his Bluetooth headset on, and when he walks into the room, his Bluetooth headset is gone. He then dials the number that Jack gave him, and he asks to speak with Bill Buchanan and says it's urgent. And then Vallisly shoots him in the neck. And when Buchanan picks up, there is no one on the other end. With that, the episode comes to a close, and we have to wait for a whole just under 7 days to see what happens.
This is the longest day of my life.